I believe that we're going to become activated. We're going to become engaged from this weekend on into the more that God has for us. Amen. And so the next guest that we have tonight is Bill Burkhart. The very first time we met Bill down in Kalifonsky, I mean, there was just, you know, when you meet someone, there's a connect. There's just a divine connection in your spirit. You know, I mean, you can't make it happen, but when it's by the Spirit, it's easy and it flows. And so when we first met him down there, there was just an easy flow and connection. And then he invited Robert and I to come down and minister down at his church in California. And, man, that was nice. It was a nice trip. And so Bill is a gifted prophetic minister and is a pastor, teacher, an entomologist, and a biologist, and is experienced in environmental health and is a senior pastor at Life Gate Community Church. He also has a father's heart. And the last time he was with us, he spent some time with Robert and I, and we said, you know, we need fathers in our lives. And so it was very easy to spend that personal time after he got done ministering. Just spending that personal time with us was very special. He's gone to many churches all over Alaska and all over the country and different nations of the earth. And Bill's heart's desire is to make Christ real to all those he come in contact with, and to break the Word of God down into bite-sized pieces and teach others how to practically walk out their Christian faith. He yearns to see people come to Christ, be equipped for ministry, okay, all right, and release many into God's call and purpose for their lives. So that's really, he's really a gift given to us from Christ. And so I believe that the Lord is beginning to change our mindsets and our perceptions even on the fivefold. There is a new, fresh perception that he's bringing, and it's all coming together. We're all going to learn to flow together in harmony and unity by his Spirit. And so with that, we want to go ahead and introduce Bill. And Jamie Weston is prophetic. He will be speaking tomorrow, but I believe they have a little presentation for us. Take it away, guys. Just be absolutely free.
So good to be here. I love Alaska. Is it amazing that people from California could love Alaska? Is that amazing? We have a gift. There's someone in our town that is a prophetic painter. And so they've been painting something, and we're going to release a gift to honor this region from our region, which is San Diego County. Let me pass the mic to Jamie.
Yeah, this Robert and Eleanor, will you come? And this also, if we're presenting this by proxy to Mary Glacier as well, yes? Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, so this is a gift to the group. The community, the gathering, but it's a movement. It's not a gathering. It's a movement. So this is a gift to the movement from our friend Mary Crawford, who painted this some time back. And I encourage you to come and look at this up close. You'll see Eleanor's right there. She's there.
Let me
so,
tell you something about this before we okay. listen to this. So I know that it's too far away for you to see, but this painting is a celebration of worship in Native American style. And there's a map behind it that shows the entire region of North America. So with that, let me give the mic back to Jamie.
So Mary sent me a short explanation of this that also includes a word for this house. And I'll just play this and let her do the talking. So this is from our friend Mary Crawford.
From California, my name's Mary Crawford, and first I want to honor you for being such incredible kingdom stewards of the land and all that's within it. And this print is a gift of honor from our region to you. And I want to tell you a little bit about the painting. When it was time for me to embark on a new painting several years ago, I heard God speak into my heart. If my First Nations people will return to their original form of worship, the nation will be changed. The very ground will respond and reverberate with my original intention for the land. So it took me quite some time to figure out exactly what he wanted me to paint, and I tried to include a variety of types of worship of the First Nations people and what that would look like along the map of the United States. And then as I was praying about gifting you with this, I felt like I got an additional message for you, particularly in Alaska, that as your voices and the ancient voices join as one, there's going to be a kingdom convergence. It's going to be divinely orchestrated by God, Yahweh. And I felt also to encourage you, I actually got a picture, another picture of a paw, but it was a lion's paw. And I felt like I was to tell you, Alaska, rise up, take your place as a lion's paw. And I heard a roar of the King of Kings. So bless you. Become everything that God has ordained for you. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Yeah. So we bless you. We stand with you. We agree with you. And we bring the blessing of the church in San Diego County. And in spirit, we partner with you. And with our proximity, here we are. So, blessings.
Stay up here, Jamie. So, from the very south part of the United States to the very northern part of the United States on the West Coast, we recognize that there's covenant alignment from north to south. God, have your way. Be honored by us honoring each other. We understand that that releases something, God. When we honor something, we get a reward. So I pray for the reward that is released as we honor the First Nations people up and down the whole West Coast. God, we thank you for that in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Yeah. Wow, the atmosphere feels different here. I was here, what is September, beginning of September last year? How many months ago is that? Five? Six, maybe? The atmosphere then was that I felt like God wanted me to lift some grief and disappointment off this whole area. The atmosphere here feels now charged with expectancy for what God is about to do. Let's give God a hand for that. There, somehow the air is just clear. Every heavy thing that has existed has been cleared away. And I have a word, just this brief prophetic word before I start. When we were worshiping, I felt highlighted the beatitude that says, "Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." And with that, I felt God say a promise to those that will cultivate hunger here. The promise is that if you will cultivate hunger, I will reward the people in this state for your hunger. And that principle, we see that principle in Scripture where David, we know that David hungered for God's presence more than he desired to be king, right? So when he did become king, all he wanted to do was bring God's presence into his realm of rulership. And so he brought David's tabernacle in so that everyone could experience the presence of God that were underneath his rule. David's hunger for God's presence was reward. It was God rewarded David's hunger and everyone in his kingdom because of his hunger. And so God wants to do that here. So raise your hand with me if it's a good thing to hunger. Father, I bless the hunger for God in this place, across the whole state, God. I bless. Lord, hunger is a gift from you, and then you reward us for the gift. And so, God, you're so good because who gives a gift and then rewards us for receiving it? But I just bless this state with incredible hunger. And God, even those that don't know to hunger for you, that they would be rewarded for the hunger of the people that know to be hungry. I release a new grace to hunger for God here. I lift up every residue of disappointment off you, every residue of grief and hope deferred that has made your heart sick. And I release an even increased expectancy of the Holy Spirit for God to move freely across this land, the state of Alaska and all of North America. Have your way, God. Oh, amen. Yeah, I want to speak to the First Nations people in this room and say to you that you are very important in God's kingdom. I want to say that when you worship in your native cultural style, it is restoring God's original intention to North America. People groups have graces upon them to release sounds. And the church as a whole, and the non-native church, the kingdom of God in North America, hasn't by and large recognized the beautiful value of the sound and the calling that First Nations carry. So this was about 5 years ago, and I'm going to speak about me recognizing the uniqueness of your sound. This was about 5 years ago in San Diego. There was a group of First Nations people worshiping in my town, and there was a giant drum, bigger than any drum I've ever seen, and the man that was beating on the drum was bigger than me, probably by one half, he's pounding on this drum, and I'm in the room, and worship is happening, and the style is in the Native American cultural style, and I'm just soaking in God's presence. I'm not going to speak. And God speaks to me from the book of Romans. This surprised me. And he said to me, the people of the land, the indigenous people of North America, have been gifted with the ability to release what God called the all creation groan. From the book of Romans, where all creation groans for the revealing of the mature sons of God. So the all creation groaned. God showed me that Native American peoples over many, many centuries worship in a style that sounds a bit like imitating creation. Are you with me? So when I hear the flute, it sounds like a bird. When I watch the prophetic motions of Eleanor, it looks a bit like a bird to me. And so the First Nations people, this is not New Age, folks. The First Nations people have learned that God glorifies himself through creation. Here's scriptural basis for this would be Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. And so when Native Americans want to release worship, often they're imitating the sounds or motions of animals because they've been gifted by God to release something called the all creation groan. They were given to be stewards of the land when the land was first stewarded. So I heard that, but I want you to pay attention to this. The all creation groan when the non-native church rises up to be able to realize the value in the First Nations church in terms of their voice, their sound and their voice and their calling, when we rise up to be able to honor that, then the church will be able to see the full release of the mature church. That's what that means. All creation groans for the revealing of the mature sons of God. So that means that if we're not equipped to honor you, then the church will never come to maturity to the way God intends. And this is why the enemy has attacked indigenous people across the whole world and dishonored them and stole their identity, because he understands that they have a unique ability and calling from God to steward this gift, to release that all creation groan, and they're integral to the whole church coming to maturity. Do you hear what I'm saying? This, I've not heard this taught or prophesied before. So then about last year, I was here in the worship meeting here, and the man that plays, raise your hand, the man that plays this native flute, where are you? Okay, what is your name, sir?
Doug.
So Doug is playing this flute, and I'm gonna describe something that sounds a little weird, a little bit like, anyone ever seen the movie The Matrix? So I'm in the front row, I'm listening to his sound on his native flute, and I'm imagining that I am going back in time, like God is showing me maybe centuries and centuries ago. And so I'm closing my eyes and I'm imagining Native American villages in North America way back, maybe in 1500, something like that. I'm imagining that and I'm seeing this sound being released at that time, 500, 600 years ago. I'm seeing, it's like I just went back in time. I know I didn't literally time travel, but God, through my imagination, showed me that this was the original worship sound in the land. This was the first, this was God's ears were tuned to the original melody and sound that occurred. The very first worship sound from humans in this land sounded like that to God. And so he was saying, pay attention to this sound because it's an ancient sound and I want you to honor it. And he said, if you will honor this sound, I will restore the land to its original intention. Yeah, that's what God said to me. So this painting that is painted, I had no discussion with Mary Crawford about this. This happened completely independently of her and me. And when I heard the audio tape that was played for you, it was the first time that I'd heard this. And then today was the first time I've seen this painting. And I knew it was confirmation of what I was to speak about today. I'm all about honor in the kingdom. Let me just say this. I traveled quite extensively internationally, and whenever I go into a different country, I go with this attitude. I go with the attitude where, God, will you show me something that their culture does better than us so that I can honor them? What is it? I'll say, God, will you help me pick out something that you especially like about their culture that is unique among their people group? I don't go into another country with the attitude that I'm the white guy that comes from America to square them away. I go in with the opposite attitude that what can I learn from you that you do better than me? And boy, does God reward that posturing. That is a posturing of humility where first and foremost, I'm positioning myself to honor a different culture. I mean, I would love to see the whole United States have the ability to honor people that are different than themselves. It's the church that will rise up and be able to do this in the grace of God, by the way. We look at incredible polarization in our political system. It's because we've learned in some ways to demonize those that disagree with us, and we have learned not to value people that are not like us. And I'm saying that is going to change because the church is going to get hold of the grace to honor people that are different than themselves. And that honor is going to result in such a unity that people will rise up and take notice. And this is biblical because in John 17, this is the prayer of Jesus to his Father before he goes to the cross. It is his highest priority. And he says this, Father, that they might be one, even as you and I are one, so that the world may know. Jesus and his dad are the prototype healthy family in the earth or in heaven. They're the original healthy family. And Jesus is praying there in John 17 that the health that has existed in the Godhead forever as healthy family is now being given to God's redeemed family on the earth. And then he says, so that the world may know. So that means the grace of God given through Jesus' prayer for us to treat each other with honor to a degree that is equal to the way the Godhead treats itself. That's what he's praying. It's epic. It's outrageous. It will happen. And then the world will take notice. By your love for one another will the world know. Oh, I'm not looking at what I see with my natural eyes. I have a gift of faith that what Jesus prayed in John 17 will happen. Because I know that this is God praying to God. And what is the likelihood that prayer won't be answered? I feel an eagerness in my spirit, almost like this lion's paw that was blitzed. There's an eagerness to say, I'm not going to be passive about God's highest priority. If Jesus' highest priority is to see the earth, the redeemed humans on earth display the healthy family that has always existed in the Godhead, then let's agree with what God's highest priority is and accelerate the conditions of heaven's will coming to earth. You know, it's our agreement with what God wants that accelerate the will of God from heaven to earth. Oh. So, do you remember the scripture from Romans that Romans. All creation, what? All creation groans for the revealing of the mature sons of God, which is the mature church. And actually in Romans here, in the verses right before that, it seems to indicate that something happened to creation when Adam fell. Like somehow creation itself lost something that existed before Adam fell, and they are groaning for us to come back to our destiny. And then they will be restored to their destiny too. I'm not exactly sure what that looks like. So God's final purpose is a redeemed family on earth that is so fully mature that we reflect the health of the Godhead. Do you believe that? Yeah. And then I'm going to move to Ephesians chapter 4. Same subject, but different, whole different scriptural setting. And I know Ephesians 4 has been highlighted to Eleanor and Robert. And it also has for me in the last few months. So I'm going to try to let you know how what I just said about the all creation groan and God's healthy family on earth, how that relates to Ephesians 4. Can we do that? In Ephesians 4, and I'm not going to turn to it now, but how many, raise your hand if you've heard of fivefold ministry. So the promise of fivefold ministry is given. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, those five gifts. And the whole purpose of fivefold ministry, the Bible says, is to bring the church to full maturity. It's actually very similar to what Jesus prayed in John 17, that the purpose of fivefold ministry is to provide an influence of God on the people of God so that they become a mature church that fully reflects the health of the Godhead. Does that sound familiar? And it says here that fivefold ministry is to function until we all come to the, this is a direct quote from Ephesians 5. Fivefold ministry is given until we all come to the unity of the faith, to the knowledge of the Son of God. I want to talk about knowledge of the Son of God. That's not talking there just about academic knowledge of the Son of God. Let me just make this statement. You can't express an aspect of God until you've experienced it. I just say that. God never requires anything from you that he doesn't first give you. So that takes the pressure off. But when the church is coming, this in this quote here, that until we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, then what it's saying is that God wants you to so fully experience him for yourself that you'll be able to express him. You hear me? You hear what I'm saying? Because we can't express what we don't experience. That's why hunger is important, folks. So it says that we come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfectly mature man. That's a direct quote from Ephesians 4. Until we come to a perfectly mature man, a corporate church that is a flawless expression of the Godhead. Let me just say this about you. I believe that when Jesus died, that he died for our sin. Is that good theology? All right. He died not only for the penalty of our sin, but he died to bring to death the power of our sin nature. Because the Bible says that we were buried with him in baptism into his death. The old nature was entombed and buried and left in the dirt. That's what the Bible says. So that in Jesus' resurrection, we were included in him. And that means that our old nature was left in the ground, and now we have a brand new nature. If any man be in Christ, he's a whole new creation. Old things have passed away completely. The old nature is dissolved and obsolete. The new nature is the one that truly defines us now. So I'm saying we have a flawless new nature now, But we still don't express that perfectly because we're learning to more effectively express our new nature. In the same way that a child or toddler doesn't learn to walk without falling, God doesn't reject us when we stumble in our journey of expressing our new nature. But when we stumble, it doesn't mean that our nature is bad and we need to go out back and resurrect the old man and reanimate the old nature and try to improve him. There's nothing wrong with the new nature God has given us, and it's his job to coach us into more effectively expressing our new nature. And there's a lot of grace when we fall. God doesn't reject his sons when they're on a journey of trying to express their new nature. God wants us to be eager to receive forgiveness and move on. And actually, the way I've changed the way I confess sin now, the way I repent, I'm just going to tell you. I feel like it's more based on what I just told you. When I recognize that I've fallen short in some way, I go and say, God, will you forgive me for expressing my old nature? And then I will say, will you give me new grace to express, get this, my true nature? So that's the way that we steward our personal identity so that we can express. We're actually honoring God by the thorough job of how he transformed us instead of trying to do in our own effort what he's already done for us. But the same thing is true with the corporate church. We are a genius expression of God as a family that is called to fully express the flawless character of the Godhead. And the purpose of the fivefold ministry is to be an influence from God to help us all more effectively express Christ as individuals and as a family. The purpose of the fivefold calling, let me just say this. I'm going to break down a definition of fivefold that I've not heard taught before, but is it all right if I just use some new words to describe fivefold ministry? And then you can decide if it's accurate or not. Yeah, judge. The way I'm going to describe apostle is that they're given to help us change the world. It's the role of an apostle is to help us change the world. Because they're eager, apostles don't want to see status quo. They're measuring all Christian activity by how effective it is. Let's do something. Let's send some people. Let's do a mission. Let's change the world. This is good. And the church needs the influence of, you can say this, it's almost like five parents. You know that in a human family, a single-parent household is very tough. Like, I think single mothers are like heroes, absolute heroes. But it's tough to raise a kid as a single parent, amen? So in God's family, he wants the influence of what you might say five parents. That doesn't mean that in every local church there needs to be every fivefold ministry. But it does mean that in every local church there should be some influence of fivefold ministry. So here's my definition of pastor. They are given to help the church become a safe and effective community for people to be transformed. Safe and effective community for transformation. That's pastor. Prophet, given to help people have a life-changing encounter with God. Prophets are all about positioning people for life-changing encounters. Prophets want to train you to hear the voice of God for yourself. Teacher. Teacher is given to help us be transformed by truth. And evangelist. Here's my favorite definition of all. Evangelist is given to help us become authentic ambassadors of the outrageous goodness of God to the world. I gotta just say that again. To be authentic ambassadors of the outrageous goodness of God to the world. The gospel is good news, and we're not supposed to water down good news and make it kind of good news. God wants to surprise people in the world by his outrageous goodness. And he wants to use us as change agents to put on display the goodness of God to them that they know they don't deserve, and then they get blown away by undeserved love. They get their bodies supernaturally healed, or they get a prophetic word that rocks them to the core. And then I've seen hundreds of people crying that were non-Christians because I gave them a prophetic word that spoke to their value and their identity. And then, honestly, it was easy to lead them to the Lord because they knew I wasn't flattering them. They knew that something inside of their true identity resonated when I called out their value through the lens of what the Father was seeing them. And so they recognized and began to cry because everyone out there, I'm highlighting the prophetic gift in the world now, everybody out there wants to be known and enjoyed. And God will use your prophetic gift outside the church to convince people that they're known and enjoyed. And then they'll melt in front of you because there's no defense for authentic love. I'm not trying to show off. I'm not trying to impress them with my gift. I'm out there to love them in an authentic way, and they can tell the difference. And their defenses just melt, and it's easy for me in this place to introduce them to the Lord. I just got to tell you how I do that for a second. So the prophetic word is given. Their hearts are melted, and often they're crying because there's a manifestation of God's love. And so they'll say, you know this is a miracle, don't you? And they'll nod their heads, yes. Could I have known this about you unless God had shown me? No. So it's a miracle? Yes. And then I'll say, why does God do this? Why would God have me say something to you that I couldn't know? And sometimes they say, I don't know. Are you a psychic? And I'll say, no, this is a gift found in the Bible. And then I'll say, the reason for this, what's happening to you now, this miracle, is God is going out of his way to demonstrate his love for you. And he loves you so much that he wants an ongoing relationship with you. He doesn't want you to go for 3 years and feel lonely and feel broken, and then maybe 3 years from now, somebody else gives you a word from God. I said, God is equipped to have a relationship with you so that you don't have to wait 3 years or 5 years or 10 years to hear from God. And then I'll say, God has done everything in his power to make relationship with you possible. He's just waiting for you to say yes. Well, that's my gospel message. It's absolutely theologically accurate, but I'm not using Christianese. I just want to say that again. God has done everything in his power to make relationship with you possible. He's just waiting for you to say yes. Boy, it's so fun. I've had people in restaurants where I'm holding their hand as they receive Christ in this testimony, their hot tears are hitting my hand as I hold their hand as they receive Christ. There's just a stream of hot tears hitting my hand as I'm introducing them to Christ. Boy, it's fun. Saints, activate yourselves in the idea of being authentic ambassadors of God's love to the world. They're poised before you to learn and to discover that they're known and they're enjoyed by a God who's so outrageously good that he would rather die than live without them. He is better than Romeo and in the Romeo and Juliet story. He would rather die than live without the human race. I just want an upgrade in how the church introduced Christ to the world. I'd like to see an upgrade here. I don't want us to be mediocre in how we present God to them. He's outrageously good. I didn't even expect to go here in my preaching, but as you hunger for God yourself, going back to the original prophecy, God will reward them for your hunger. And I'm just saying, you guys can do the stuff. You guys can do the stuff out there. Do you believe me? Do you believe this is true? I feel a righteous anger, going back to First Nations people, and I'm going to wrap up. I feel a righteous anger that Indigenous peoples around the earth have been dishonored almost uniformly and had their identities stolen. I feel a righteous anger about that, and I want to prophesy a reversal of this across the earth. I want to say, I want you to stand up now if you are First Nations or partly First Nations, some blood. I just want you to stand up right now, and I want to speak this over you. In the name of Jesus, I treasure you for your worship style. You are unique. You are uniquely crafted by the creator of the universe and your redeemer to be stewards of the land and to release the all creation groan. And no one can do this except you. You're uniquely crafted and called to be able to release this groan. And I bless you for your style of worship. I bless it. I bless it. I bless it. God, would you break off every shred of dishonor that's ever happened around this? Around this unique worship style. Now, God, as we honor, we expect a reward. God, will you restore North America back to its original intention? And will you bring the church, God, to a place where you can reveal the mature sons of God? I acknowledge before you, God, that we're not going to mature as a church worldwide unless we learn to honor the ones that carry the all creation groan. So, Lord, there's a principle of restoration in the Bible. You always give back more than what was stolen. And so I say, in the name of Jesus, even across the whole world where Indigenous peoples have been robbed of their identity and dishonored, I pray reverse, reverse, reverse it and bring back restoration, God. We are asking that there will be double honor for what the enemy has stolen. And let the Indigenous peoples in the earth take their rightful place in the kingdom of God. I'm getting pretty fired up here. Stay standing. You are treasured for your voice in bringing the church to maturity. And you have taken your place of honor in God's kingdom. I just want to end by praying this. Lord, can we all just stand now, all of us? I want you to position yourself with that, in that receptive pose with your hands sort of up, palms up. Jesus, we honor your highest priority right now. That is that we might be one, even as you and your Father are one, so that the world may know. We also honor the end goal of fivefold ministry. That we might come to a full knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfectly mature corporate man in the earth. Jesus, we say so be it to your desire that has been so clearly expressed in Scripture twice here. We dare to believe that what you prayed for will happen. And so let there be agreement between the peoples of earth and heaven. Establish your will on earth as it is in heaven. We hallow your name. We hallow your name. We hallow your name. Let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.
I just feel to respond to that message and say, Lord Jesus, we do take up, as First Nations, we do take up our rightful place in the kingdom of God with humility alongside all of our brothers and sisters in Christ, as co-heirs of Christ Jesus and as co-laborers here on earth as it is in heaven, so that we all may become one new man here on earth as it has been designed and destined to be from heaven here on earth. Amen. And so with that, I believe that there's some prophetic ministry. Do you guys have any prophetic ministry, personal ministry tonight? Yes, we'll have Jamie start. Is there any musicians? Does anyone, you can stay and linger here. We want to go into some prophetic ministry. How many received the word of the Lord that came tonight? Hello, Melissa. Welcome. Go ahead, go up and play. Okay, thank you. We want to make room for people's gifts here. This is part of Kingdom Alliance's vision and mission, is to train up and raise up the body of Christ for the work of the ministry, not just within the four walls of the church, but in the business, within, anyway. I'll share some more tomorrow. I'll preach some more tomorrow, okay? Anyway.
I might share a little tomorrow, too.
Okay, sounds good, honey.
Come on. So good. Thank you, Bill. That was tremendous. I think you got a little higher altitude than even you had expected, yes?
I surprised myself.
That was such a good word. I've never heard that spoken. It's the first time I've ever heard anything like that. So I really like that. That's beautiful. So with a group this size, it's always challenging to think about doing individual personal prophecy, because there's people inevitably, because somebody's going to get left out unless we're here all night. So we have to understand the principle of resonance. Resonance is the vibration that's caused by a sound with things that correspond to it. Ella Fitzgerald was great at releasing a tone, musical tone, that could break crystal. And she could be in a room full of crystal and look at one glass, one crystal goblet, and she would reach that tone, every crystal goblet of that shape and size in the room would break. not just the one she was looking at. Because the tone of her voice caused a vibration and a response in the corresponding shape. So we've discovered that as we do personal prophetic ministry in a group, typically one person will be highlighted, but that word will, of course, will apply to a number of different people in the room. And if that's the case tonight, grab it and take it. It's yours. Just because you weren't the one pointed to doesn't mean that it's any less significantly yours. And if you will take that and implement it, you'll receive the promise that's attached to that. Hebrews tells us through perseverance, they received what was promised. So we know that a word comes and speaks to us of God's purpose, potential, but often there's a part that we play in that, persevering to actually lay hold of what we see from a distance prophetically. Yeah? That makes sense? Okay, so guess I'll just launch out here. If this is wrong, I think there's a trash can by the door on the way in the back. Just leave it in the trash can as you leave, okay? We see in part, we prophesy in part, but we hope to encourage some people. So there's a gal that was up here on the worship team, a young gal. Oh, is that your daughter? All right, well, we'll catch her. We'll catch her tomorrow then. Good, good. I'll keep that. Now, there was a gentleman. There you are, sir, with the white hair and the mustache in the back on the aisle and the dark shirt. Yep, you're the one. Yes. May I ask your name? May I ask your name? Okay. Ron, I felt like I heard the Lord saying about you. I felt like I heard him say, but I have called you faithful. And I think you've been I think you're a faithful man. I saw you persevering through a whole series of difficult seasons, Ron, and you just continued to show up. You just continued to suit up and showed up. Sometimes things were good, sometimes things were not good, but you showed up, and the faithfulness that you've engaged has modeled something to those around you that just makes your Heavenly Father really, really proud. Does that make sense? I felt like I saw, and is this, are you related? Or together? Are you married? Okay, that's good. That's always good to ask first. I've made that mistake before. That's not so good. I felt like I saw the Lord pouring through the two of you. Ooh, there's a looks like a chocolate fountain of goodness. You know those chocolate fountains? It goes down, down, down. There's goodness flowing from between the two of you that flows out one, two, three to the fourth generation. Goodness flowing. But then there are those that go from the two of you to other places and bring goodness. I'm not sure what that's about, but I'm seeing, I think about the second or third generation. I think it's the second generation down. I see some leaving and going other places and taking the goodness that they received from you and doing it all over again there. So the goodness that you've released is so powerful that it can't be contained, but it duplicates and is being replicated now on the other side of the... At some great distance away from you. Just want to encourage you with that. Yes?
I see you as a couple relentlessly honoring people that don't always honor you. You just keep plugging away at treating people well. And it's almost like mistreatment rolls off you like water off a duck's back. That's what I'm seeing. And I think the woman in this couple has a hospitality gift. I actually think, like, I'm inviting myself to eat your food. Am I right on that? maybe that's not how you're supposed to prophesy.
So who else in the room felt like that word also belongs to you? Faithfulness, perseverance, showing up. All right, everybody that belongs to you, stand up real quick. Just stand up real quick. And sir, will you stand? So in the name of Jesus, we release a blessing to the faithful. We release a blessing to those that persevere. And we affirm the proven character that's been formed in you through perseverance. And we bless the release of goodness that flows down to the third and fourth generations. We bless, we affirm.
Stay standing. God is wanting to restore any sense of being depleted. Like, yeah, the ones that are standing are faithful, and you've been plugging away. And the Lord, right now, I just want some people that are around them to touch them. Because God wants to recharge the batteries of the ones that are always giving. The ones that are always giving, they need to be singled out. And the Bible says that we bear one another's burdens. And so fulfill the law of Christ. So I'm going to pause for a minute and not talk. And I want you to pray. As you pray, I want you to believe that God will recharge the batteries of those that are always giving.
Yeah.
And even those ones that are standing, I hear the Spirit of the Lord say that He is causing you to set healthy boundary lines. He said, for your boundary lines have fallen into pleasant places, and some of those decisions that you have made have gotten you caught in areas where the Lord didn't really want you in. Because you're such givers and givers and givers, and you've become depleted, and even at times become even angry because you're such givers. And so the Lord says tonight that He is resetting your boundary lines. He is recalibrating you. He's recalibrating you for the work of the ministry, but this time it's not going to be according to man's plan, but according to God's plan, God's higher plan over your life. For I see Him even releasing new strategic assignments over you. New strategic assignments over you that is going to hit the mark. And it's going to be at times I hear a holy no from the Lord on some things that man would try to pull on you to do for them. There'll be times when God the Father says no. There'll be a holy, bold no that comes out of you. And it'll take you and them a while to get used to. But He says, this is for My kingdom purposes.
Daughters. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Okay, if you're still being prayed for, just continue to receive. We want to do just a couple more targets and target a few more issues. And let's see here. So, okay, if I can find you. Ma'am to the rear with the scarf. Uh-huh, yes. May I ask your name? Dawn? Okay, Dawn. This is just really simple, Dawn, but I just felt like I saw the Lord sending needed provision. I felt like there are some needs that need to be filled. There's a gap there, and is it you've even been waiting. There have been some months, I think, of an anticipation or a wait for a gap to be filled there. Provision, yeah? And I just see that package having already left heaven. It's like it's on the way. It's already left the delivery gate. It's on the way. I believe you'll see it. I believe you'll see it may look a little different to you than you've expected, but I have a sense of every need being met, Dawn. Every need being met. And I have a sense that the Father is going to replace what's been taken with an even better installment. Does that make sense? So the loss that you've experienced will be the impact of the loss that you've experienced will be erased with the profound provision and replacement from your good Heavenly Father. Yeah? Yeah. So provision incoming, restoration to what's been lost. Also, I feel like I see the Lord removing some, almost like some depression's been following you around or something. Like there's been a heaviness, a shadow on you. Something has gotten between you and the sun. And, that thing is done. So we just, in the name of Jesus, do you mind if I come and pray for you? So, provision coming for a gap that's been, there's a gap that's been needed to be filled for some months in a waiting process. Provision coming for that, and profound loss being replaced with a new installment. Who else does that belong to? All right, will you stand? If that's you, will you stand? So, Father, we thank you for your provision. We thank you that you have given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. You haven't left anything out. You're not tight. You're not cheap. You're not grumpy. You're not holding out. And whether it was caused, whether it was done to us or caused by us, does not matter. We pull on heaven for a full release of provision for your sons and daughters. A full release of provision. Might look a little different than we're expecting. In fact, I'm asking you, Father, I'm asking you for a full release of that within the next 6 months. 6 months. In 6 months' time, fullness. Fullness. And a replacing, Lord, of what's been lost. Your genius ability to restore what's been taken. And you do it in a way so that we're better off after we've received what you provide than we would have been if it had never been taken. You're amazing like that. So let goodness come. Let the replacement of loss be released and encountered in your sons and daughters in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Great. Is this all right? Okay. Okay, this is a fun one. I hope it's right, but if it's right, it's going to be fun. Sir and ma'am in the rear, I think tribal leaders, yes? Is that correct? Who? May I ask? What are the names?
Kneviacs.
Okay. I felt like I saw, I just felt like this is for you. I hope this is right. I feel like I saw the hand of God coming down and holding on to a daughter that's of some concern. That makes sense at all? I just saw God's hand coming down, and he grabbed onto her. He's very gentle in his grasp, but he was, God's hand was forceful in its track. He wasn't being a sissy about it. He forcefully extended his hand to this daughter, and then he very gently put his hand around her and just held on to her. And I feel like it's possible that there's this daughter or young woman, I think it's a daughter, that there's been some concern about, and even you've even tried, even made some attempts to take care of the situation, and things have not maybe worked out like you'd hoped. And there have been some disappointment, but I believe that Father wants you to know that he's at work behind the scenes in that situation. His hand is already there. He's already got her. And I believe you'll see a reversal. I believe there'll be a sudden reversal of some things. And then there'll be a season it's like you'll see some change. And then there'll be a season of walking into that change. And so it's not all going to happen at once. There'll be a change and then growth in the change. And then more change and growth in the change. Does that make sense at all? So I just would like to bless that process for you. Father, I thank you for the process, for the promise of your hand at work in the lives of our daughters, our girls, our girl. In fact, if that's you, who else has a daughter? There's a daughter that's of concern. I don't mean to embarrass anybody. But if that's the case, will you stand? Father, thank you. I believe this. I just have a sense of the eye of God looking at the girls in the best way possible. Father, I thank you that your hand is sure. Your arm is long. You're able to begin the thing that you begun in us. You've taken the responsibility of committing yourself to complete the work in us that you've begun to accomplish your purpose. I thank you that your eyes are on each one of these girls, each one of these women, young women. We bless your hand at work in ways that we can't. We bless your big, beating, loving heart that's able to penetrate through deception. It's able to penetrate through misunderstanding. It's able to penetrate even through layers of anger. I just see layers and layers of things coming between parents and daughters, and I just see the goodness of God dissolving those layers from both sides. From both sides. So we just release division dissolving goodness into the lives of these parents and into the lives of their daughters. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your hand at work. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Oh, okay. So, there's a young lady here. What's your name? Sherry Lynn. Have we talked before? Do I know you? We have? Okay, I don't remember. I forget almost. If this is the same thing that I've told you before, I guess it's round two. I don't know. Anyway, and again, this is a simple word. It may turn into something more than what I've gotten. I bet y'all thought I was in Facebook, didn't you? I wasn't. Well, not all the time. I peeked at it. So, Sherry Lynn, I just feel like the Lord. I just see that you burn so bright. You're designed to burn with the fire of God's love. You are like a lamp with a big. You're like one big wick that's just designed to burn, and you shine so bright. You shine so bright, and you know there have been some things come along to try and extinguish that light. There was a season of some years of pain, real pain for some years, but it didn't put you out. In fact, you came out brighter than you were when you went in. And you lost some things that should have been. Yeah, that was actually a nice move the Father did in that situation, because you came out free and light, more light than you were in the beginning. And so I just want to bless your brilliance. I bless your brilliance, light to those around you. And even when the time is right to be light in the darkness, I have a sense of a fearlessness being formed in you. There's a bravery, there's a courage in you that's springing up. God's giving you a heart for people that are really, some people that are really, really broken. Really broken, and you almost think, oh, I can't have anything to say to them. But God's put that in your heart. And light is light. Light does what it does in the darkness. So we bless the assignment that God has for you. We bless the brilliance. We just fan into flame the fire of God's love in you. Burn brighter. Burn hotter. Burn, 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 burn. Now release soundness of mind. You a helmet of salvation to protect your beautiful, sensitive mind. Sometimes some things want to come on you that really, really are heavy. And even in the night, push back against that thing that wants to come on you at times in the night. Release you from that. Instead of being done damage to do damage to it. People like you and I are tools of revenge. We get a payback because we've taken some heavy stuff. And we get a payback. So I bless the revenge. You know, the year of the Lord's favor is also the day of his vengeance. And the vengeance that we take is not on people. This is vengeance on darkness. And it's only one day of vengeance to a year of favor. So you don't want to get too carried away in that. But for that day, it's fun, isn't it? Oh, it's fun. So we bless you. Bless you. Does that make sense? Yeah. I see a little one. Yeah? Ah. Okay. Well, you were going to be the next one anyway. So I was going to. We'll get you in a minute. Did you want to? Okay. So, may I ask your name, sweetie? Molly. Can I take your hand? See, Bill, I'm doing what you do. Molly. Oh. Yeah, you know, the gift of the Lord. The gift. You've been given a gift, and you're a gift. Sometimes gifts are birthed in pain. But the pain of the birthing only accentuates the beauty. And I know that was, I know that's part of your story. And I just have a sense of duplicated beauty. Is this a little girl? Little boy, okay. I have a sense of brilliant duplicated beauty in this little child. But I feel like you are just so special. I think that, so I'm seeing a vase full of flowers. All these different kinds of flowers with different smells, different looks, different colors. I think that's you. I think you've got a whole bunch of abilities and gifts. You could do this, you could do that, and now you want to do this, and you're not sure whether you're going to do, or maybe all at the same time. And I feel, I know it is. And I feel like the answer to your question, what should I do? I feel like the answer to your question is yes. In other words, you get them all. You get to do it all. God's formed in you an amazing capacity. There's a creativity in you that's astonishing. You have some administrative ability. There's a part of your mind that could be given to business in a beautiful way. You're also an amazing mother. And I think maybe one of your most powerful gifts is that beautiful gift of hospitality. Now, the spiritual gift of hospitality isn't just having people into your home to feed them. It's a supernatural gift. It's a gift of the Spirit, but it's how you're made. What that means is that you carry about you, it's like you're a walking home for people. Everybody wants to come home. Everybody wants to go home. And I know that's been your cry too. And so out of the need that you have, God has birthed provision for others. And you have the ability, just for people being around you, to make them feel safe and understood and wanted and at home. So I bless your abilities. I bless your gifts. I bless that hospitality. I bless the beauty that's in you. And just release a strong blessing to that little boy.